Welcome into Sports Call on Tiger 93.9 FM and streaming online at sportscallauburn.com. J.J. Jackson, Ryan Lavoie, and Tom Peavy now getting a chance to chat with Steve Shaw, the coordinator of officials in the SEC. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning. It's good to be with you guys.
Thanks so much for taking time to spend with us. And let's start with some fun stuff for you here off the get-go, if that's okay with you.
So 100%.
This spring, we saw something really fun happen in the SEC where us media goobers, all call us, were actually out there on the field for some of those spring games as officials. How fun was that for you to see that?
Well, it was really a good weekend. we brought them in. So it was fun, but also it was work for those guys.
Sure.
We brought them in. What we did, we tried to mirror a weekend, a fall weekend for a crew. So they all came in on Friday. We had a dinner, and then we did a pregame starting right after dinner, going up to about 10 o'clock that Friday night. And then we outfit them in new uniforms, and, you know, we had a little seamstress there and got them all set. And then Saturday, we started about 6 hours before kickoff and went through a full pregame. We had a partner official with them, so every official had a SEC official with them to kind of mirror and teach and coach them up. And it was a great event. I mean, they actually did a pretty good job in the game. There were a couple little things. And,
sure.
Marty Smith had a little problem spotting the ball. But
yes.
Other than that, they really did a pretty good job. But I think they all took a lot away from it.
Steve, more stressful for you actually being the official, being a referee in a football game, or serving in your current role here as the SEC coordinator of officials? What would you say?
That's a tough question. The difference is, and people have said this to me, you know, when you're on the field, you had to deal with two coaches. Now you've got 14 coaches. So that adds a little to the stress. But, you know, it's different kind of stress. I mean,
sure. To
what y'all do, a lot of people, if you took somebody and put them in your seat, there would be great stress because they're not used to being on the radio and doing those kind of things. And this is kind of where I grew up in. So it's stress. But it's not a stress, it's a debilitating stress. It's more of a anxious and, you know, ready to go stress. And you can relate to that.
Absolutely.
In what you do.
So let's get into kind of the rule changes for this year. And obviously you said yesterday it's an off year, which means only player safety rules are going to be considered. So let's start with the targeting call. It's been very well documented. So there's changes to it this year. Go through those changes and then how it will kind of impact player disqualification or just the enforcement of the rule.
So our targeting rule has served us very well. We've got to, you know, a few years back we had to make a change in our game. We had to take the head out. And so we've made good progress. We're actually maturing, I think, in officiating it. But for this year, the rule changed. Nothing changes on the field. The rule book says when in question, it's a foul. These things happen at high speeds, high hits, and we want that when in question. We want the guys on the field to get the marker on the ground. What is going to be different is how we review it in replay. Now, the philosophy in replay has always been the ruling on the field is correct unless you have indisputable video evidence to overturn it. We're really flipping that on targeting. We're actually just saying if there's a targeting foul, you're going to start with your video, and you're going to lock in to your video regardless of the ruling on the field. And what we're saying now is you have to confirm all aspects of the targeting foul for the foul to be enforced and the player disqualified. We're taking away stands out of that. And the intent is these marginal plays where you can't really tell for sure. We don't want to disqualify a player unless you can absolutely confirm it. And so that's the change. No stands. We had about 12% of our targeting fouls last year that were stands. So I don't know if that stat will hold. But what we're trying to do, we don't want to back away from the rule. But if it's a marginal play, we don't want to disqualify a player.
And I was in there this morning for the exercise we did with the media, which was to have multiple plays and to decide whether or not it was targeting or not. Discuss the results with that because I found them quite interesting. It seemed pretty split.
It was. And I don't know what the media's takeaway of that was, but here's my view as watching them perform. If first of all, and I say this lighthearted, if our guys were, you know, 58-42 split on a targeting foul, would it be a good day for us, right? And people want consistency and that sort of thing. So I think the first takeaway is if you have a team in it, it's easy. But if you don't have a dog in the hunt, so to speak, these things can be really hard. And those are bright football minds in that room. And now, as we got on down the line, I think we had like an 80. Well, no, we never got to 80, but we were in the high 70s. But that would not be tolerated. If our officials were 70-something percent correct out of the replay booth, there'd be a firestorm. So it's hard. I mean, it is a hard process. And I think the takeaway, what we're trying to do is educate so you understand what is a targeting foul, what are we looking for, what is replay looking for. But the subtle message is this is a lot harder than it may seem on the surface, and I think those percentages kind of show that out.
And then let's turn to another rule. Of course, this could kind of be dubbed the Texas A&M LSU rule from the overtime rule. Talk about the new change in overtime and what the thought process was with that.
Our rules committee has, for the last couple of years, talked about overtime, and I think you hit it right on the head. The A&M LSU game was like the flashpoint that said, "Hey, we've got to do something with this." And if you look at that game, there were 255 plays in the game, and just at some point you need to get the student athlete off the field. But as they talked about it, everybody loves the college replay. I mean, in fact, a lot of people like it better than the NFL and better than the high school. So they didn't want to take away the fabric of our overtime. So where they got to is, hey, the first two overtimes we just kind of run straight up. Then there's a natural change because then beginning with the third, you have to go for two. So they said, let's keep symmetry. Two straight up overtimes, two overtimes you have to go for two. And then beginning with that fifth, we're going straight to the two-point play. And the idea was it's time to get our players off the field. Nobody wants a tie. So as opposed to a full series and then a two-point try, let's just go straight to the two-point try. And I think it's a good compromise. And it's a small percentage of games. It's not even 1%. I mean, it's smaller than that. But it does happen. And in those isolated cases, you can't say, well, we're just going to throw those guys to the wolves. You need to take care of those student athletes. And I think we've come to a really good spot on it.
Steve, we've got the rule changes that are in place, but then looking forward, time to time, do things happen in the NFL that you guys look at and go, oh, boy, here we go? And specifically I'm thinking about that pass interference call where people are now wanting to review that, want to review this, and review. Do you guys see things happen in the NFL and really go, they're really about to come at us here?
Yes, we do. Well, it's not that. We have a good partnership with the NFL. In fact, right. When our rules committee meets in Indianapolis, it's the same week as the NFL Combine. So we meet with their competition committee. We have a meeting in season, and I actually attend, you know, some of their competition committee meetings. And so we want to work together. And I think that, you know, obviously with what happened in the New Orleans game and the press and notoriety right. that got, there was a response to that specifically. There's this always this push-pull with replay. Everybody wants perfection, 100%, get right. everything right. But the reality is you really don't want that because that's going to impede on our game. It was a non-rule change year for us. So we did player safety initiatives.
Right.
This is not a player safety. So in a way, we were a little bit protected. I'm glad that we can sit back and watch what happens at the NFL. I think that what fans seem to want is if it's something egregious, you know, right. just absolutely crazy pass interference.
Like that,
we want it. But you know, once you cross that barrier, if right. if you pin his hand down just a little bit or a tug, you know, while the ball's in the air, technically that's pass interference, and now you've got video evidence of that. How are you going to deal with it? So it's this fine line of where do you go to? And I think once you say pass interference is reviewable, it's reviewable. So I'm glad that we've got a year to watch the NFL kind of work through this. And I'll put this out there as a cautionary note. We don't think about it this way, but targeting, and we did it because of the severity of the penalty, but targeting is a judgment call that we put in replay. And what is the most controversial replay component that we have is targeting, right?
Yeah,
That's right. What we talk about.
Right.
And so the NFL is stepping into that, and what's going to be important is there an absolute guideline of what is pass interference and how far are we going. you know, in the replay review. And I'm going to tell you, that fine line, people are going to see, I think, well, wait a minute. We didn't. Yeah, that's pass interference, but that's nothing. That's not much. We don't want that. But if it's pass interference and you're reviewing it, then it is. So I think the difficulty there is, where's that line? But once you cross that line, it dominoes on you. And at some point, you know, fans don't want the game held up with replay. And I almost use basketball as an example. You know, although great intended, you know, if you watch the NCAA tournament now, the very end of those games, some of them are like, oh, my gosh, we're going to the monitor again.
Right.
And so we're trying to find that sweet spot of putting replay. You know, I was on the field when we started replay, and the first year it was, we're going to correct obvious errors on the field with indisputable video evidence. Well, we left obvious pretty quickly, right? And so how far is replay creep go?
Well, and you know, the thing that I think about with the pass interference type call, you call pass interference on defense, you look at it, and you realize that through everything, the offensive guy is actually the one that interfered. So then what do? Do you throw the flag again and go, actually, it's on the offense? You know, how does that, you know,
that's what the NFL has to work through. And how's that going to feel to a coach who challenges and all of a sudden,
now he's penalized.
I get penalized. That was my challenge. Yeah. But you've got to work through all those details. And I tell you, the other thing that is going to be, I think, the most difficult in this, and we don't think about this, but, you know, for your listeners, I want them to think about this. So NFL, if you ask their coaches, they would say the hardest part of their replay game is when they get out a coach's challenge in the last 2 minutes, it's all initiated by replay, and the coach loses control. But if you think about the college game, that's our whole game. Our whole game is reviewing every play. So the replay seat is a lot hotter in our game, not just the last 2 minutes. Our whole game is that way.
The SEC coordinator of officials, Steve Shaw, joining us here on Sports Call. The other big takeaway from your presentation throughout this week has been there's now the new website as well as the social media accounts with SEC officiating. Kind of take us behind the scenes of the discussions that you had and ultimately what folks can find if they check out the website.
We're going to grow into this. And so the first thing, let me say, I'm not going to be tweeting anything, okay? I'm not a Twitter person. But I think we had a consultant come in. We had an engagement with Deloitte Consulting. And they really looked at our program from, as I said in the meeting, from the toss to the final whistle. They looked at everything in our program. And really, I had three takeaways. First was a good, they affirmed our selection of officials, our training of officials, and our evaluation process, and compared favorably, even not only in the nation, but they did it to international officiating organizations. So that's good, and that's something we can build on. The two other things they had, one was analytics, and we've got a lot of data, and we look at a lot of data. I mean, I've got fouls per game, per crew, per individual, home versus visitor, sideline versus, I mean, we've got all this. But I think it's a right thing. We need a person with a more mathematical time to go and sort and dice and give us, you know, good data. So, you know, since Moneyball, analytics is so important, right?
Absolutely.
But then the third that you referenced was communications. And not so much. They were really positive, our communications with the coaches and the schools and the athletic directors. But it was communications to the fans, to the media. We really needed to get better and ramp that up. So all of this is around that. Here's my hope and desire. And again, I will be providing the geeky officiating language, and people that are good at this will clean it up and get it out there as tweets. But I hope that it can be a serious football dialogue. Now, I have my own worries that this turns into something very different, and people are creative, and it's always the creative juices that start flowing. And I'm never going to be creative like that. But my goal is, if we have calls, let's make sure people understand the rule, the officiating philosophy, the mechanic. And if we have an incorrect call, you know, I'm very honest with our coaches. We got to be very honest. I'm going to be very honest to this site. And then see really how that works and how that takes us and where do we go. Here's the other thing. We had 19,000 plays we officiated last year. Obviously, we can't comment on 19,000 plays. Right. So how do you select which play is it that rises to the level And so we'll have people, you know, monitoring all that to say, hey, we need to make a statement here. We need and we hope it is educational, it is informational and honest.
Right.
And it doesn't turn into, you know, a tweet fest that, right. that we're not going to win.
Final question for you before we let you go, Steve. Obviously, in your new role as the SEC coordinator of officials, you're still very much so invested in the game. But how frequently do you still get that itch to be out there in the field in the live action?
Well, when we started this Deloitte process, I reminded Commissioner, I think I got a few good games left in me. So, So I did work on the field when we had our media guys
right.
out there. And I kidded with our crew. I said, I'm not subjecting you to this. If anything happens, I'm going to be the referee in it. But I miss being on the field. But I love what I'm doing,
sure.
and it's where I need to be. But, man, yeah, there's days, you know, when you get one of your referees, you know, position referees to say, I got a little hammy. I'm like, okay, why don't you come sit in the office and I'll take your game. So then they're like, oh, I think it's okay. I can make it. But I miss being on the field, but I'm in the right spot right now.
You're too kind with your time. Thank you so much again for joining us.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate what you guys do.
That's Steve Shaw, the SEC coordinator official, joining us on Sports Call.